limud of Chofetz Chaim is every day is the Zchus Refuah of Yosef Dov Ben Chayle, Shtav Refuah Shleima, Bekorov, and you should make a Simcha Miyad Hashem this week, Simchas Bar Mitzvah of his son. All come to the Kiddush here tomorrow, Miyad Hashem. I wish him Mazel Tov. Dudi to make Kiddush here tomorrow, Miyad Hashem, for the Bar Mitzvah. And everybody's welcome, and I'm sure the appreciative Torah Way members come along and say Mazel Tov to him.
In the weekly
Okay, so our shaila, yeah, we're back to our shaila of the honey that was spread on the Rebbe's chair, and the Rebbe is at the moment where we're up to is that the Rebbe is giving a detention to the entire class, and nobody's allowed to snitch to the Rebbe as to who did it, and Shalom Aleichem, David, long time no see, nice to see you, and so. Yeah, the story was that a boy during break put honey on the Rebbe's chair. The Rebbe sat down on it, got embarrassed. Nobody will tell him who did it. And therefore he's giving a detention to the entire class. And we're talking a situation where he can't be don l'chaf schus because there were no other people in the building and it can only be one of the boys. It was either the Rebbe or the boys. So if he didn't do it to himself, there was nobody else, therefore it must be. Now comes a shaila like this. Is a boy allowed to tell a lie in order to avoid telling the Rechilus? We said it would be Rechilus to tell the Rebbe who did it, because that creates enmity between the boy and the Rebbe. Now, the Rebbe calls in one of his favorites, one of the really good boys in the class. He says, come on, he says, you know who did it. Yeah, you can tell me. Oh, is the boy allowed to say, yeah, the boy could say to him, I know who did it. I saw who did it. But Hilchas Rechilus says, I'm not allowed to tell you. And therefore I'm prepared to suffer a detention rather than tell you who it is. That's if the boy would know Hilchas Rechilus, okay? Most boys probably wouldn't know that, to be able to say that. I don't even know in a similar situation how many adults would know that unless they come to this year. But would the boy be allowed to say, Rebbe, I don't know? Yeah. Or, take another example. What about a boy who decides to save the entire class and be a hero and save them from detention, and he's going to own up to doing it when it wasn't him? So he goes to the Rebbe and he says, okay, Rebbe, sorry, really, I'm very upset, but it was me. Yeah, and it wasn't him. And he's going to be a hero, and his friends are going to be so happy with him. And the boy who really did it might feel bad, I don't know. He might also be happy of our culp on him. But these people are telling a lie, leman ha-sholem, if you like. Are you allowed to tell a sheker leman ha-sholem? That's the question. It applies in marriage as well sometimes. Seriously, white lie, whatever they call it, yeah? So, we learned it out from a parsha, the beginning of Vayero, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a message through the Malach to Soro to say that Koes Chayo Ulasoro Bein, in a year's time you will have a baby. And she was at the time 89 years old. And he what's called, and it says, Vatitzchak Soro Bekir Bolemar. Sora chuckled to herself internally. I mean, she only thought it, and she thought to herself I'm long past childbearing age. I'm long past childbearing ability. I'm no longer physically capable of having a child. So therefore, how can it possibly be that I can have a child? Vadoini zokein, and my husband is ancient, so he can't either. He's an old man. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu got very upset about it. Right? Why did Sora laugh, if you like, or doubt my ability, yeah, to say that I am old, I am elderly, I'm incapable of having a child? Yeah, she said. When the Rabbi Sham told Avram about this, he didn't mention that she said that her husband's ancient. He only mentioned that she said that she is ancient. And the Rebbein Shem changed it and left out that she said, Vadoini Zokain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not tell to Avram. So you see that you could be Meshane, the Gemara learns out, Meshane v'pnei ha-sholem. You can change things in order to create Sholem ben Yishle Yishtoi, not to create enmity, because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would tell Avram Avinu that she's going around saying that her husband's an ancient elderly man, then maybe he wouldn't be so happy at the compliment.
He'd already had children.
What? It doesn't matter, but now, she said. Can he have a child now? He's supposed to be having a child in a year's time. He's 99, she's 89. She says, I'm impossible. You'll speak. Okay, fine. No, that's fine, yeah? Okay. That's the row. We'll finish it b'li'edo on Sunday. I want to leave you with a kasha over the weekend. And that is, isn't the Rabbeinu Shem setting us a bad example by telling Avraham what Sarah thought? Avraham heard Sarah thinking in her mind, Bekir Bolemoy, yeah, that I'm too old, as if she was doubting the ability of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told that to Avraham Avinu. What right did he have to tell her? Why isn't that Lashon Hara? Leave it with you.
Dodger Day, 208 Northwest London, Friday, Hey Old, 9th of August, Rabbi Yecheskel Nemeth, Shlita Arshadim. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by the Simchas Bar Mitzvah of Moshe Tapa Neriyoyah and Moshe Lerner Neriyoyah, Lash Shabbos, Yit Rotzen Shizu, this was Ashwar Ba'afayah, Moshe Shabbos, Lotzen, Shalom, Bim Heiro.
Amen. Good morning, Derev Shabbos, Chodesh. There was a king who wanted to give his child the most beautiful garment. And obviously, he hired the best tailor to make this the most beautiful suit for his child. And after a few weeks, taking a long time to produce this beautiful suit, when it was finished, he was very proud to give it over to his son. Obviously, his son was very proud to wear it. And he looked smart in it, fitted well, he looked handsome in it. He took a lot of pride in it. However, he was only a child. And after a while, this child didn't exactly treat the suit as he should. And he started to run around with it. He ate with it, he wasn't careful with it at all. Things happened to it that shouldn't have happened. And after a time, the suit actually wasn't wearable. And he came to his father, and his father said, that I'm upset with you, that you didn't look after your suit. But, do you know what, I'll get you a new one, and I'll make sure a new one is made for you. And he got an expert tailor again to make a beautiful new suit. And he gave it over to his son. And this was the second suit now. So you'd think that he'd be more careful with it. Nonetheless, no, he's a child, and he climbed up the trees with it, ripped it, torn, ruined, and he came back to his father. This time his father said, you're not going to fall for the same thing again. He's not going to give him a new suit just like that. So he said to him, do you know what, I'm going to make a suit for you. It's going to be much, 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 much more beautiful than the other two suits. But I'm not going to give it to you just like that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put it in the closet, put it in the cupboard, this suit, and I'll show it to you once in a while, just to show you what you're going to have one day, when you can convince me that you know how to look after a suit. Once you can convince me, and once you can tell me that you can look after this most beautiful suit I made for you, then the pleasure you could take it. However, I'm leaving in the cupboard, and that's what I'm going to do. That's what he did. So over the next few months, the child kept, he showed the child every few weeks the suit. So this is the suit that you'll get when you could tell me, when you convince me that you now have to look after it. And he wanted to wear a new suit, but at the end of the day, he also wanted to climb trees with it and do whatever he wants, like children do with it. However, one year when the king opened the cupboard, he showed him the suit and he said, you know what? The son said, very seriously, he said, you know what? I'm going to be responsible. I'm not going to continue running around with it and doing things that I shouldn't be doing, and I'm going to wear this magnificent suit. I'm going to look after it. King said, okay, you know what? I can see that you're serious about it. You can have it with pleasure. Hashem gave us two suits, two Bate Mikdash. We tore them, we destroyed them through our anaveiros, through carelessness. The first Beis HaMikdash through Gimel Aveiros Chamuros, the second Beis HaMikdash through Sinas Chinam. He's ready to give us that third suit, the third Beis HaMikdash. But we have to show him that we're ready to wear it. And we're not going to ruin the Chas V'Shalom. We're not going to destroy it. This week, Shavuos Chazoin. And it starts with the words Chazoin Yishayo in Haftorah. We're going to read this week's parasha, Chazoin Yishayo, the vision of Yishayo. So Rav Levi Yitzchok Kabaditchev says about this very special Shabbos, about Shavuos Chazoin. He says human beings live in the realm of time. We don't have a past or future before us. No matter how much we want sometimes to go back in the past, and sometimes we want to know in the future, but we can't. We don't have it. However, in front of our Kadosh Baruch Hu, the past, the present, and future are all in front of our Kadosh Baruch Hu. The third Beis HaMikdash in its full glory is in front of our Kadosh Baruch Hu. However, he's only waiting for us to be ready to bring down the third Beis HaMikdash. Rav Levi Yitzchok explains that Shabbos Chazoin, he says something very fascinating. He says Shabbos Chazoin is the Shabbos of the Neshama's Chazoin, Neshama's vision. We're going to get a vision over the Shabbos of the third Beis HaMikdash. Hashem is going to show us an image, a vision of the third, final Beis HaMikdash in its full splendor. However, it's for us, when we have this vision, and the Shama is going to be shown this vision of the third Beis HaMikdash, it's for us to decide once and for all that we want to improve our ways. And we can wear that third suit. We're ready to wear it. Like that prince wants to ready to wear that suit over the time. And then, once we're ready, once we contemplate and we think about that we really want to change our ways, then our Kadosh Baruch Hu will finally bring down the third Beis HaMikdash. That's what he says. Shabbos Chazoin is the vision, and the Shama's vision that we're going to have of the third Beis HaMikdash. Over the next few days, we're gonna see the word Eicha and hear the word Eicha and see it. Once in Parashas Devarim, once in Haftarah, and once in Eicha next week on Tisha B'Av. So I thought I'd spend a few minutes explaining this word Eicha and the connection, what they have between the Eicha of Devarim, Eicha of Haftarah, and Eicha of next week on Tisha B'Av. The Medrash begins in Eicha and he says, the first Medrash on Eicha, he says, Shlosha nisnabu b'shloshan Eicha, Moshe, Yishayo, and Yirmiya. Three Nevi'im were prophesied with the word Eicha. They were Yirmiya, Yishayo, and Moshe. So the first one, this week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Eicha yisal levadi tarachachem u'masachem v'rivchem. And that's in this week's parasha. Yishayo, in the parasha of in Chazoin, it says Eicha hoisa lezoina. How has Yerushalayim become a zoina? How's that come about? And Yirmiya, next week on Tisha B'Av, in Eicha we say Eicha Yoshua Vodod. How she sits in solitude. So these three words Eicha by Moshe Rabbeinu in this week's parasha, Yishaya in Haftarah, and next week on Tisha B'Av. So to understand the kesha between the three Eichas, you have to first understand what exactly the word Eicha, what it means. So I saw from Shlomo Levenstein that the word Eicha comes from a word split into two. Eikoi. Where is this koi? Where is it? Where is this koi? Now, what is this koi that we're referring to? When we say Eicha, Eikoi, where is this koi? What is this koi that we're referring to? Where is what? Where is this koi? So he explains that when Avraham Avinu got the Havtacha of children, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him outside and he showed him the stars, the Kechavim, and he said, Koi Yezarecha. So shall your children be. Koi. Use that word Koi. So we're going to explain that these Nevi'im, Moshe Rabbeinu, and Yeshaya, and Yirmiya, will cry out and say Eicha, this word Eicha. Eikoi, where is that Koi? Where is the Avtocha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Avraham Avinu? Where is it exactly? What's happened over the generations that Koi Yezarecha, We'll explain soon, has been lost. To bring out this bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Avraham Avinu, Koi Yazarecha, the Yalkut HaGershuni explains on this pasuk, Koi Yazarecha, with a quite well-known moshul. He says that there's a guy traveling to a far distance, and he was, over the time, he didn't realize, maybe he didn't plan a journey properly, he didn't see any city, no inn, nowhere to rest, nowhere to eat, nowhere to drink. This was after traveling for days and days. It was getting quite hard. Literally nothing. Not even a tree to sit under the shade. Absolutely nothing. And finally, says the Yaakov the Gershuni, after 10 days, he sees from a far distance a tree. And he knows that tree is going to be the savior. But he doesn't realize till he actually gets to the tree, and the tree is going to be much better than he actually thought it was. And he gets to the tree, he sees not only is it just a tree, but it's got fruits on it. And not only got fruits on it, Amas Hamayim, there's a water flowing underneath it. And it's the most amazing thing after travelling all this distance, and then finally he sees that. So he sits under the tree and he enjoys the shade after travelling for so many days. And he takes the delicious fruits from the tree and he drinks the water from the Amas Hamayim. And he really feels very refreshed after that, especially after travelling for so long. Afterwards, when he wants to leave the tree, he wants to give a bracha to the tree. So, but how can he? Says, Ilan, Ilan, how can I give you a bracha? He says, should I give you a bracha? Should I give you a bracha that your shade should be pleasant? But your shade is pleasant. It's beautiful. I'm enjoying the shade. It's amazing. I can't give you that bracha. He says, maybe I should give you a bracha that the fruits should be sweet. I can't give you that bracha because they are sweet. I'm enjoying them. If I say that you stand in a place that's desirable, you're standing right in front of me, exactly why I needed it. So he said, at least I can say, all the natias that come from you, from this tree, should be like you. Should be like you. That's the only bracha I can give you. So Yaakov HaGashini explains, this is what it was Koyi Azaracha was saying. HaKadosh Baruch was saying to Avraham Avinu that all his children for generations to come should be similar to him. Should be similar to Avraham Avinu. All of our generations after Avraham Avinu we should copy Avraham Avinu, should emulate Avraham Avinu. That's the Koyi Azaracha. But what happened? So, since the Havtach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Avraham Avinu of Koyi Azaracha, Moshe and Yishai and Yirmiya, for different reasons, cried out and they said, Eicha, Eikoi, where is that Koi? Got lost somewhere. We have distanced ourselves away from Avraham Avinu. So we know Avraham Avinu was Ishalo. We know when Avraham and Lot, they parted ways because they were quarreling. The shepherds of Avram, the Rei Avram, the Rei Lot, were quarreling with each other. So he says, "I'll not see Meriva bein Neveinecha. I'm not going to have arguments between us. We're going to split." So Lot and Avram split. So he says, "Ish Shalom." He did anything he can just to avoid machlokes and to have Shalom. However, generations later, that Shalom seemed to have gone away. His children didn't go. Avram Avinu's children didn't exactly go in his ways. In this week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Eicha esal levadi, tarchachem masachem berivchem." So Rashi explains that they were quarreling each other, they were arguing with each other. Berivchem, they were arguing with each other, and also tarchonin badin. Rashi says that every time that when someone's about to win the Beis Din, he quickly brought Edim. He says, "I've got Edim. No, I've got Raya's." Straight away, there wasn't much shalom going on. See, so Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't take it. He said, Eicha. He said, where? So Shlomo Levenstein explains that Eikoi. Where is that koi? Where is that haftacha of koi? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Avraham Avinu that we should be like Avraham Avinu. Ishalo. Where is it gone? It's gone away. How are the parents of Avraham Avinu not acting in the ways of Avraham Avinu, who was the Ishalo? However, the Indian Shalom, we were lacking. However, we still weren't chaytim. We weren't considered chaytim. We were Shalom. We was something or something that we weren't. We didn't thrive on. So that was the Eicha by Moshe Rabbeinu. Eikoi, where is that Koi Yazarecha? Where is that Haftach that Kosh Baruch said of Ram Avinu? And then came Lisi Shayo, the Bais Rishon. Bais Rishon was destroyed because of the Gimel Averos Chamuros. And then he cried out, Eicha esa hoysa lezoina. Where's the avtocha of Koi that compares Kal Yisrael to Avraham Avinu? Avraham Avinu obviously wasn't a chaytim. He wasn't a chayta. So we say that, Eicha, where we've come away from Avraham Avinu again? Where's that Koi Yazarecha? And then finally, the final difficult days in Klal Yisrael, when Beis HaMikdash was already destroyed, and Klal Yisrael were exiled from Eretz Yisrael, and it was then Yirmiyah came along. Next week, we'll read in Eicha Yashav Adad. How can it be Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, is left in solitude. Now, Yirmiyahu was saying, I don't see at all now the Dimyon, Klal Yisrael Tav Avraham Avinu. Now we've become completely lost. We've lost all our splendor, all the glory is completely gone. Eikoi, Eicha, Eikoi, where is it? It's gone. So it's now, for the 3 weeks, and over the next few days, obviously, is our avoida to bring back that koi yazarecha, and to over Shabbos Chazon, especially like Rebbe Yitzchak says that we're going to get a vision of the third Beis Hamikdash, and it's for us to contemplate and to improve our ways and to realize how can we bring back that koi, how can we go back to Avraham Avinu and think how can we. Could emulate his ways. So to finish off this vort, Rav Zev Eger says that the word koi is actually a difference to the word kain. The word koi is mamish like it. So he said, koi yazarecha, like this, should be like the stars. Mamish like the stars. Bidyuk like the stars. So he says that, like we also see in Parashas Yisro, he says, koi soim al beis Yaakov. So Rashi says, V'loshen azeh k'seid azeh. I want you to, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, I want you to tell Klal Yisrael exactly these words, nothing else. Koi means exactly, bidyuk. So he says, he ends off by saying that Klal Yisrael will compare to the stars. Yeah, the stars, obviously have, there are loads of stars, the ribbo of stars. That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Avraham Avinu, that you'll have children like there's so many stars we won't be able to count. That's one. And number two is that the stars also b'shalem. They don't touch each other. They're all in their place. They're all b'shalem. So he says that when Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klal Yisrael, Icha Salavadi, I can't do this alone. And he said, then next pasuk says, K'koichve Hashemayim l'roiv. He says, like the stars, are but just l'roiv. You only compare to the stars at the moment, the majority comparison of the stars, but not fully, not by koil, because you're missing that shalom. Once you're missing that shalom, you're not like the stars completely. So it's not that koi yet. So once we get that koi back, then the bayis shlishi, then the binyan beis hamikdash we can be rebuilt. So I want to end off with something I saw. We say in Shema, Leman yibro yimeichem mevinechem al ha'adama asher nishba Hashem lam v'sichem. So he says that in order to have Arichas Yomim, those people that follow the mitzvahs and don't sway Chas Shalom from the Torah will merit a long life. But it doesn't say anywhere. It says Al Adama. In Eretz Yisrael, we'll only get Arichas Yomim if we keep the mitzvahs and we don't sway Chas Shalom from the Torah if we only believe in Eretz Yisrael, it's Al Adama. So the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Ches picks up on this. And Yeruchlan's Talmidim said to him there are old people in Babel. There are older people in Babel. So Rabbi Yochanan said back, I don't understand. How can there be old people? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense because it says, Leman yibro yimeichem veyimeichem al ha'adama. It says that you'll have long life on the land, on Eretz Yisrael. Avol v'chutz la'aretz loy. But it doesn't say that in chutz la'aretz have long life. So it doesn't make sense. So then they told Rabbi Yochanan, you know what? They have long life is because they wait, they have this minhag to get up early in the morning, Dam Shachres, and they stay late at night learning the Torah. So that's why they got this zuchus of a long life. So Richard understood that, okay, that's the reason why they have Arichas Yomim. The question still stands, at the end of the day, it says in the Pasuk Al Adama, it doesn't say in Chazdar, it doesn't say anywhere. It says that you get Arichas Yomim if you keep Hashem's mitzvahs and don't stray from the Torah. If you on the land, it doesn't say on there in Chutz La'aretz. So how come Taka and Bava, all these old people? So he says that, and Rashi explains something very nice. He says that the Batei Midrashos, the Batei Knesses from around the world will eventually miraculously be transported to Eretz Yisrael when Mashiach comes. All the shuls, all the Batei, everything will go to Eretz Yisrael. So he says, for this reason, the piece of land that all the shuls are on, and all where everyone's learning Torah and where everyone's davening, is actually al hadama, is actually considered as part of the land of Eretz Yisrael. So underneath the grounds of this shul is actually a part of Eretz Yisrael. So he says that, the Mashal explains, he says that a person who very much becomes part of the shul, and becomes part of the shul, comes to learn in the shul, he comes to daven and he takes it seriously, then he is considered, he's a permanent member of the shul, he comes to kavet in the Torah in the shul, he is considered to be like a citizen of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, that's why he merits this Arichas Yomim. So Al HaDoma is actually, we're now Al HaDoma. Because we are standing on a shul that's going to miraculously, eventually when Mashiach comes, go to Eretz Yisrael. So we are already Al HaDoma. But if you want to be part of this Al HaDoma, a person has to be part of the shul, has to be part of the davening and part of the learning and take seriously part of the shul, a permanent member of the shul. And then he could be a citizen of Eretz Yisrael. So that's why the Pasuk and the Shema, Al HaDoma, is because we are getting a Richas Yom, even though we actually don't physically live in Eretz Yisrael, but we are part of Eretz Yisrael, we are Ben Eretz Yisrael, because we are part of the Beis HaMedrash, part of the Beis HaKnesses. So, over the 3 weeks, it's our job, it's our voida to bring back the Koyas Aracha, and when we go through Shabbos Chazoin, to think about this idea of Anashama getting this vision of the third Beis HaMikdash and improving our ways. So I'll end off with two stories. Ralevi Yitzchak of Adichev, actually, he was looking out the window on Erev Tisha B'Av. Everyone was going to Eicha, and he was looking out the window. And it was getting quite late. I'm saying the oil were already getting a bit fidgety and shul, waiting for Levi Yitzchak of Adichev. So the Gabba, after a time, it got a bit much. So after the Gabba went to his house, and he said to Levi Yitzchak, you know what I'm saying, the oil were waiting. So obviously no one's going to start without Levi Yitzchak. So he said, just 1 second. Ah, then he said, Mashiach's not come. So we have to say Kinnis. That was what he was waiting. Just waiting to see if Mashiach had come. And then once he saw Mashiach hadn't come yet, then he can go on his way to Kinnis. Another story of Aram Kameni, the son of Rav Elia Baruch Meir. He went to the shop before Tisha B'Av. He wanted to buy a Kinnis. So when he went into the shop, he was walking around the kinnis, and he said he finally found the kinnis that he wanted. And he said to the owner of the shop, can I have this kinnis? He said, this is going to cost 30 shekel, I'm saying whatever it is. He said, you give it for me for 20? I'm saying, if you want. I'm saying, okay. I'm saying, no, really, 20. You give it for 20, yeah? You give it to me. I'm not going to pay full price for it. I'll pay 20 shekel for it. So the shopkeeper knew this Aram Kameni. He knew him. He was quite a frequent customer. So he said to him, I don't understand you. I don't understand what's going on. You come to my shop the whole time. You buy very expensive sforim. I've sold to you quite expensive sforim, which people don't usually buy. You're happy to buy. You have not once bargained with me. Not once. But not once bargained with me. You've paid the full price, no problem. You didn't even think twice. Suddenly, when it comes to the kinnis, you're bargaining with me. What exactly is going on? So he said to him, the kinnis I'm buying today. I'm buying the sforim that I bought over the years from your shop. Will keep me forever. Even Mashiach comes, I'm going to use this sforim at all. Mashiach comes, we don't stop learning Torah. I'll carry on from this farm. So he said, but this kinnis, I won't need it next year. So why should I pay full price? So he said, I'll pay you a less price, but I'm not going to pay the full price because I'm not going to need it next year. We're talking about Gedolim who lived with the vision of Mashiach is literally there. Not that this in some time. They lived with a understanding of Moshiach on its doorsteps, and it can come any moment. We know famously the Chofetz Chaim also had the suitcase ready. Is that these gazelim of mamash? They're ready, and they thought to themselves, "Why do you need a kinnas? Why pay full price?" Fair enough, it's a fair tina. So let's hope, Tucker, this is the last time we're using the kinnas, and Be'ez Hashem, we shall be zeicher to see the rebuilding of Binyan Bais Shlishi and greet Mashiach in Mehirah v'Yameinu Amen. Okay, thought to take home for the week. The Seder starts off Eile Hadurim Asher Dibre Moshe Kol Bishu Bai Vayadne Bamidbo Barubo Moel Tziv Bain Puron Ibain Teufel Veluvon Vachatzayres Vedi Zuhov. Rashi struggles with, because what, although everything is cryptic and only alluding to various different places, all in order to guard the kuvud of Klal Yisrael and not to come out with it directly to say, you know, that you have sinned in all these places. So Rashi says, Umar Rabbi Yochanan, Chazarni al kol ha-mikru, been through the entire Torah of Elohim Etzini, and haven't found a single place which is called Teufel, and haven't found a place called Luvon. Strangely enough, the Torah records this place, and geographically it makes no sense whatsoever. Elo. Chichon al advurim she-tofli al-amon, she-hiluvon, she-omri, ven-afshayni, kutsu, ba-klerich, ma-klerichel. Toflu is referring to the mon, because it speaks, like, in other words, they brought together a collection of tanas against the mon, and the puron is referring to the meraglim, which happened in Midbar Puron. That's the illusions. So Rabbi Yankel from Antwerp, the son-in-law of Rabbi Itziki, is asked, why does it say the illusion of Bein Puron Ibein Teufel? Everything else says clearly, Rovo, Malsev, Luvo, Machatzeres. Here we got the Bein Puron and the Bein Teufel. So you might think it's between the two places. Doesn't seem to stock. However, let's analyze clearly what the two things were. If Puron was the Meraglim and Teufel was referring to the Mon, then there were two different aspirations of the nation, two different needs of the people. What were they? When it came to the Meraglim, then the Meraglim said, you know, we don't really want to leave this Midbar. We're very happy here. We live a lofty life. We live a celestial life, almost like Malucha. We eat lechem, abirem, and we consume food which is mamish, the food of Malacha Hashuras. We have water from the grounds, bread from the heavens. The best Rosh Hashiva and the finest kollel you can imagine, a laundrette round the clock, 24/7. Vos felt in sos, why should we go to Eretz Yisrael to sit in tractors and plow and take oxen and move? And vos felt in sos, what are we missing here that we should need to go to Eretz Yisrael? So therefore the pursuit, what they wanted was a life of ostensibly pure spirituality, because this is what the Midbar was giving them. Mitzad Shaini, when it came to the Mon, and they said, they took that very same food, and they said, you know what, it's all very well, it's wonderful, it's heavenly, but we want a rib steak and chips with ketchup. The real McCoy. And how long are we going to go on eating this fluffy stuff, which is very good, satisfies us, but that's not real food. We want something we can bite into. Now, the two aspirations seem to be conflicting. It's a paradox. What do you want? Do you really want the life of the Meraglim, which are saying, we want to stay here because this is a heavenly life, this is a place where we are constantly gleaning spirituality from Moshe, from the Rebbein Shalom, we're connected. And the Mitzad Shaini comes to the Mon. You say, enough of all this, we want the real thing. Says Rabbi Yankel, I said, so that's, you got it. Baruch Hu Molsiv, Bein Puron, Bein Teufel. Oder Ahin, Oder Ahe. What's it going to be? Do you want this type of life? Then that's the life of the Ragla. You want the other type of life? That's the life of the ribstake against the monk. So it's clearly that your tanas, your needs, your desires were paradoxical and conflicting. Minai ibai, and therefore that was part of the rebuke which Moshe Rabbeinu was giving to Klal Yisrael, was bein puron ibein teufel, which is a diak in the exclusion of the pusik. Goes on to say v'luvam machatzayres v'dizua. Chatzayros refers to Adas Korach. Why has Chatzayros got to do with Adas Korach? So, we might suggest that Shlomo HaMelech had Baskol from the Rebbein Shloimeh, and the Chazal says, B'shu Shetikken, Ariv Chatzayros, then when he made this tikkuna, this anfal of Ariv Chatzayros, the Rebbein Shloimeh says, B'niyim Chacham Lipchu, Yismach Libi Gam Uni. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice together with you. Why? Because he was massacring this new chiddush of Ariv Chatzayros. What is the big deal? 10 families, 10 properties, all living separately. And then comes one guy and he says, you know what, let's put down a bottle of wine and some challah, and the other one does the same thing, and all of a sudden they join together. The children are playing football together. Yankel is eating Moshe's chun. Groenum is tasting the other one's kishke, and they're having kegel together. And poos is gewogen a matzev. What's pshat? They took one a diverse tree of chatzayres, where all the chatzayres were separate, and they made from 10 chatzayres, they made one. So they've united together. They've taken a disparity and they brought it together. The choeira is the chamor de kazach. The Rebbein Shalom is saying to him, "Bani Chacham Libchu Yismach Libi Gamuni. I will rejoice with you because I see the chokhmah that you've done. You've taken something that's disparate and you've united it." Flip side, let's go to Koyra. What did he do? There was, on the face of it, a united front. Klal Yisrael were there in the midbar. Comes along one fellow and he says to him, "Who says you should be Kohen Gudol? Who says you should be Melech? Maybe the 250 people here, each one of them is going to be a macher for himself. V'dusom, v'aviron, v'oin, v'peles, v'nairiven, v'saim, chamishim ish, all consumed in different places." So you can see clearly that there was a disparity created, that one chutzah became chatzei rois. And consequently, the name of Korach v'chaladusa was also associated with that. That chatzei rois symbolized Adas Korach, because what he did was took one sense of unity and created from the unity a disparity. Now we understand the famous Rashi, which Rashi says, if now the creation of one unit from many units, as symbolized by the concept of Arive Techimen and Arive Chatzayros, as Shlomo HaMelech did, is associated with Chochmah, because he says, "B'niim Chacham Libcho Yismach Libi Gam Uni," then clearly, Korach Shepikachoyu, he was clever, Maru Leshtus Ze. If the opposite of wisdom is clearly stupidity, because stupidity is associated with disparity, and wisdom is associated with unity. I've been given all of the boot, otherwise I'll tell you a beautiful thought on the I'm going to